Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
All right, we're going to get to God's Word. Here we go, Matthew chapter 21. Last week I talked about blind Bartimaeus, and I said that Jesus was leaving Galilee, he was getting to Jericho, he was hanging to right, and he was headed towards Jerusalem. In fact, I said that Scripture says he set his face towards Jerusalem. So he's approaching the Holy Week, he's approaching Palm Sunday, where he's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. But he stops because a blind man calls out his name. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And so we're right at that next step from where he healed blind Bartimaeus to where he's riding in Jerusalem. We're going to jump out of Mark. We're going to jump into Matthew and hear the story here. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 5. It's on the screen. It's on your app. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Just tell them I need it, and they'll let you have it. In fact, don't ask permission. As you're leaving with it, just say, "The Lord has need of it." Oh, they're not with the camera. It's okay. I was going to go get Rosanna's purse and walk off with it and tell her the Lord has need of it. To which the response might be, "Well, the Lord can have it, but you need to give it back." I somehow want my life to be that open to the Lord. "Lord, whatever you need, it's yours. All of my stuff, all of my life, Lord, whatever you need." I don't even need an explanation of why you need it. I don't even need an explanation of why you're taking something. God, it's yours. It's all yours anyway. I'm just a steward. It's all yours. See, the problem, though, sometimes with that attitude, when we say, "Lord, it's all yours," is sometimes there's a middleman involved. And it looks more like giving to one another. The Lord says, "Yes, I have need of it, and you need to give it here. And you need to give it here. You need to give to this ministry, to this person, to help this need." But I wonder, I don't think, it doesn't show in Scripture, and I can't imagine that the guy who gave the donkeys had any idea he was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. That what he was doing right then was fulfilling a prophecy from way back in the book of Zechariah. I'll read it specifically right from the verse 9:9. In Zechariah 9:9 it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, righteous, and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Bigger things were taking place for this donkey owner than he had any idea was happening. That the Lord has need of your donkey. Okay. And they take the donkeys. But what in the world? He is fulfilled. We are seeing Old Testament prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. And all he did was give up his donkey. Loan his donkey for a while. Don't you want your life to reflect that? "Lord, whatever your kingdom purpose is, I don't need to know all the ins and outs, but in me saying yes, to be open to everything that I have to you, oh God, in me saying yes to that, that I'm fulfilling your plan, your purpose, in my simple way, Lord, it's yours." And we watch God's hand at work in his plan just because we said yes, "Lord, it's yours." Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set out on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. If you remember, if you're here from last week or watching, there was a great multitude traveling with Jesus. We saw the great multitude in Jericho. And so whether they came or a new multitude arrived, look at verse 9, then the multitudes, plural, multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You'll remember from last week that Bartimaeus cried, Jesus, thou son of David. This messianic title. It's not talking Jesus, thou son of Joseph and Mary. Jesus, thou son of David. This is what the crowd cries. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved and said, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Hosanna. Hosanna, that phrase, it actually is this greeting to a king. And Hosanna, the word means save now. Deliver us. That's what they're crying out. They're not just crying out, yay, praise the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the king that is riding into Jerusalem. And there was an expectation because they were living in occupied territory. The Romans were present. And they would remember that years before, centuries before, God would say of Moses that he would send a prophet like Moses. Now remember, Moses, God used to see the people delivered from slavery to Egypt. And their expectation is that there would be a prophet like Moses who would come and deliver them from the oppression of Rome. And so they're expecting a militant king to release them from the Rome. But this king, Jesus, when he rides in, he doesn't start in Rome. And when he rides into Jerusalem, he doesn't go to the palace. Instead, he goes to the temple because his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And the king comes to the temple. Let's see what Jesus says. Verse 12. Jesus went into the temple of God. That's a real key phrase. The temple of God. Would you just say that with me? The temple of God. And drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. Verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. We're going to come back to verse 14. But let's continue reading right now. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. In the temple they're still crying, the kids. They were indignant. And they said to him, this is the chief priests and scribes. Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you perfected praise? Then he left and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Jesus comes into the temple and he shut business down. The money changer. There was a temple tax they had to pay, the half shekel. And so when people would come to the temple, whether they're using that currency or foreign currency, there was an exchange that would take place, and there was a markup on it, just like today. You're exchanging currency, you got to pay a little extra. And there's all indication that the little extra sometimes became a lot extra, and it wasn't fair, it wasn't reasonable. But there was this exchanging, money changing that went on. You're going to get the temple tax. Those who bought and sold. Sometimes people would travel from a long distance, and so rather than bringing the animal sacrifices with them, they found it very convenient that they could come to the temple and they could purchase an animal sacrifice rather than bringing it. It was still costing them. And there would be this exchange of money, and they'd have the animals to sacrifice, providing a service for people. I think it's very interesting that Jesus did not condemn what they were doing. He condemned where they were doing it. And he condemned how they were doing it. He made it a den of thieves. And I think clearly there is a place for the market, and there's a place for foreign exchange, and there's even a place for reasonable profit. But this was not that place. The temple was not the place for that. Jesus partially quoted Isaiah when he said this, that my father's house shall be a house of prayer. And whether he went further or Matthew only records part of it, the phrase in Isaiah is for all nations. A house of prayer for all nations. Matthew's writing to a Jewish audience, but he opens up, Isaiah said, a place of prayer, a house of prayer for all nations. The temple is a place where we come to encounter God. And the first point is this, that the king goes into the temple and he sets things in order and he makes room for prayer. Wouldn't that be something if that was true for our lives? Is that as we invite Jesus to be the king of our lives, we invite him into the temple of our lives, that he would make room for prayer. Is that we would be a people of prayer. Say, my house should be called a house of prayer. May we be able to be say of our lives, my house is a house of prayer. Jesus made room for prayer. And he removed some things that ought not be there, that were crowding out the very purpose of the temple, this place of prayer, we're crowding out. I wonder if there are things in our lives that are crowding out prayer that we need to have removed. My understanding of prayer is that it's not just somehow a spiritual email list to God of all the things that we need, but it's communion, it's worship, it's coming before the Lord. It's not just speaking, but it's listening, it's waiting in his presence, it's tarrying in his presence, encountering God. Oh, that our lives will be places of prayer. Is that we walk, not just a few moments in the morning or in the evening or whenever we might have a devotional time, but our lives will be lives of prayer because Jesus is coming through our life and he has made room. Oh, Lord, make room. Make room in my life for prayer. He made a distinction between business and his father's business. It had become a place of business. This was the same place that years ago when he was 12 years old, he said, don't you know, I need to be about my father's business in the temple. I need to be about my father's business. And may we say of our lives that our lives are so full of Jesus and there's been room for prayer that we can be about our father's business. And let's look what happens in verse 14. We've got two more points in there quick. In verse 14, it says this, and we're just going to read the first part of the verse right now and then we'll move on to the second. Look what happens. As he's made room for prayer. Verse 14, it says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. He made room for prayer, and then he made room for people. Blind and lame who couldn't get there before. And I have no idea how the blind people and the lame people got in the temple. Do you ever pause and just think, oh, the blind and lame came. Okay. How did the lame get there? How did the blind get there? I hope you don't think this is dark, but I was just thinking, did the lame people get the blind people to carry them? But then they'd have to cue them to say, go right, go left, or whatever. Like, or is it just were their friends that came along? I don't know. But somehow, some way, the blind and the lame got to the temple where Jesus was. Not, they weren't coming for commerce, they weren't coming for business, they weren't coming for profit, they weren't coming to expand their purses, but the lame and the blind came. They weren't there to offer sacrifice or to do their religious duty. They needed to be made well. And I look at my life, and this is a very serious question for me, and maybe it is for you too. Is there room in your life? Is there room in my life? Is there room in our lives for people who are in need? For people who are in need. Maybe we have lots of people in our lives. But is there room for others who are in need? Not just our friends, not just the people we hang out with. But what about seeing those who are in need? Now, I would even submit to you and say this, make no mistake, that as we draw close to God in prayer, he will have us draw close to people in need. As we draw close to God in prayer, he will bring people into our life who are in need that we might be able to help. And let's look at this last part of the verse. Jesus made room for prayer, he made room for people, and now he makes room for power. Verse 14, the last after the comma says, and he healed them. And he healed them. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. It's not just that they came, something happened, and they left different than how they came. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And so as we look at this story in the book of Matthew, he's the same Jesus. The same Jesus that did that then is the same Jesus that will do that now. Because the blind and the lame have been to where Jesus was, they left differently. And I think the strength of this account is not that they came to the temple. I think the strength of the account is that Jesus was in the temple, and that made all the difference. It's not enough just to come to a building. They needed to come where Jesus was. And the temple would be a place where all people could come. And so I pray, my hope is that our lives would be so full of the presence of Jesus, because we are a people of prayer, that people, the people in our world, the people that we come in contact with, they would be able to have the touch and the presence of Jesus, because he's in our lives and makes a difference in theirs. See, there's only one culture that I really care about, and it's the culture of the kingdom of God that is made up of every tribe, every nation. Listen to what Revelation said. As I looked, or after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands. Yeah, what a beautiful picture. Just as Jesus rode in, palm branches being waved. Here we are, this picture of heaven, palm branches in their hand, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. There's one kingdom, those who name the name of Christ. And this morning, when I think about people who are blind, I certainly think about physically, those who are physically blind, and Jesus healed them. But Jesus also healed the spiritually blind. And I wonder today if there's people here, people watching online, if there is a blindness that you're struggling with, if you can't see your way through a problem, if you can't see a way through the situation you're facing. Tara earlier spoke during that song, Waymaker, whatever situation you're facing. Well, and that can be true, that God will make a way for you, and will trust and believe that. But maybe you just can't see it. Maybe you just can't see a way out of the pain that you're in. I can't see it. There are no options. Or maybe you're here today. When I think about the lame, I certainly think about those who can't walk and have the ability to. But I also think about those who don't have the ability to move forward in life, that you're stuck, that the pain or the sorrow or the darkness, whatever has taken place, you can't move forward. Or you can't even move back to where the pain and the hurt or the tragedy happened and deal with it. You're just stuck right where you are, not moving. And maybe it's been years. One of the things that is so helpful, Pastor Kathleen Lee's grief share that's going to start on September 8th on Tuesday nights at 6:30, is not allowing people to get stuck in grief, but to be able to walk through grief. It doesn't mean the pain is all gone, it doesn't mean everything's all better, but there's a moving forward, a passing through, and it doesn't have the grip that it once had. But for those who can't see a way through, and for those who are just stuck and can't move, I want to pray for you this morning that the Holy Spirit, that the presence of God would touch you. And I love that song when we sang Waymaker, because I often think about he makes a way where there is no way, that the way didn't actually exist. It wasn't there. It just wasn't that you couldn't see it. It wasn't there. And he makes a way. Let there be, and there was. He just needs to speak. He just needs to touch. It makes all the difference. He is able. So for those who can't see your way through, or those who have no ability to walk forward, I'm going to pray the power, the presence of Jesus to touch you this morning. And for all of us, that as we're people who have made room for prayer, the people who have made room for others, that wherever you go, even this week, that there would be the power and the presence of Jesus to bring wholeness and healing to everybody that you come in contact with. Make room for prayer. Make room for people. Make room for God's power. The last thing I'm going to say before we pray. There's a verse that has been shaping me in the last 2 weeks since I read it. It's in Chronicles. The Lord really spoke to me about it. But some stuff in my life, just that I need to get out of my life. I thought, this is no place. I'll tell you, it had to do with a movie series and the language in it. It was just like, I can't watch this. And just felt so convicted, told my family, told my girls, told Audrey, I can't watch this, gotta be done. Because I've been just wanting to be so sold out to Jesus, every area in my life. But this is the verse, 2 Chronicles 29:5. Hezekiah, the king, is bringing reform for the nation. Watch, hear me, Levites, he's speaking to the priests. Now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. And carry out the rubbish from the holy place. What in the world? How did that junk get in the holy place? How is there place in your life? And it was, they had to physically carry out the rubbish to the Kidron. They took it out, and it took a long time to sanctify. It said, sanctify yourself, sanctify the house of God. Carry the rubbish out. And when I talk about Jesus coming and overturning the tables and the money changers and chasing out those who sold doves, all that. Jesus came in and cleared things out. This morning, I'm convinced that he wants to clear some things out of our lives. To be able to make room for prayer, make room for people, and make room for his power. And for us, it will be making some choices this morning. We're going to carry that rubbish out. It's not going to be in my life anymore. I'm done with whatever it is. Jesus will just set us free. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we love you, and it's not light or trite to say that. And as we look at your word this morning, as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, into the temple, in that context, you were just about to have the Last Supper. You were just about to be betrayed in the garden. You were just about to give your life a ransom for us. Pay the penalty for our sin. The first thing, though, when you ride into Jerusalem, judgment starts at the house of God. You came to the temple. So this has got to get cleaned out. Whatever is going on, whatever business we've been about, it hasn't been the Father's business, and you clean house. So God, we come to you as a people. And we invite you. We started our service saying, we welcome you, we invite you. Lord, we invite you into this moment, into our lives. Your word says, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, we've already prayed a dedication prayer, a cleansing prayer. God, is there anything in our lives that shouldn't be there? We pray that you would shine the spotlight of your Holy Spirit on our hearts, our lives, our minds, our soul. God, you'd speak to us right now and illuminate, God, where we need to get right with you. And get our lives right with you. God, I pray that I'm not going to call out things I don't think. Maybe. Lord, if there's our language that we need to surrender to you, if it's our attitudes, if it's what we watch, if it's what we listen to, if it's what our hands do. Loved ones, just in the midst of this prayer, just sense the Lord's saying, it's like the Old Testament priest. They applied the blood to his ear, to his thumb, to his toe, to his ear that he would have the ability to hear from God. His thumb, whatever he touched in ministry, would be of God. His toe, wherever he would go, would be of God. Lord, we want that kind of anointing on our lives. God, whatever we hear, whatever we allow into our lives, God, would you just put a covering over our ear, that we would give no place to the devil. We could just include our eyes what we look at. God, our hands, our thumb, wherever, whatever we touch, there would be a holiness about it. God, we'd get our hands off things we shouldn't be involved in. That we just shouldn't touch. Do not touch. God, and our feet, wherever we go. God, the places that we go, God, we want to honor you where we go. God, if we've been going to places we ought not, God, we confess that we choose to stop right now. God, for those who are having some sense of blindness in their lives, they just can't see a way out, they can't see a way through, I pray for those who look at their finances and say, I've done the math, it doesn't work. God, I pray that two loaves and five fish would make all the difference. Or five loaves and two fish. God, it would make all the difference. That your math works when ours doesn't. That you would make a way where there is no way. God, wherever we can't see, that you open our eyes. God, for those who are just stuck, there's a lameness about we can't move forward. We're stuck in this, funk. We're stuck in this depression. We're stuck in this discouragement. We're stuck in this situation. We're stuck in this relationship. It just won't bite. There's no breakthrough. God, I pray your touch on their lives right now. Jesus, that you would touch our eyes and we would see, and you would touch our spiritual legs that we could walk out of whatever has got us gripped. Those ropes that have tethered us and tied us would be broken in Jesus' name. There's even chains that are on people that would be broken in Jesus' name. That we'd be free to walk forward and walk into the fullness of the plans and purposes of God. So God, we yield and surrender our lives to you and say, Jesus, whatever you want, whatever we have, it's all yours. As we trust you.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.